You're listening to The Latest Development, a brief dive into the latest releases happening on Solana. Each episode features a protocol team on to talk about their latest releases and how it works. We like to talk tech in plain English. And today, I've got Nick on from Helios to talk about their new product. LaserStream. Welcome.
Hey, happy to be here.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Nick, for the people sleeping under the rock, why don't you tell them what you do for Helios and a little bit about what Helios is?
Sure. So I'll start off with Helios. So Helios is a developer platform for Solana. I think the way you can think of us is like as sort of like a Home Depot for, or like, you know, a hardware store for building your blockchain-based applications. We focus exclusively on Solana. I also like to tell people we're kind of like an internet provider. If you want to read or write data like to or from Solana, a lot of people go through us, and we have a bunch of products on top of that to make your lives easier, some of which we'll talk about today with LaserStream. And then me personally, I'm one of the co-founders. So I focus on the technical side. Basically, I run the engineering department plus a few other things as well. There's also another technical co-founder, Liam, who's a CTO, and we basically work together on all the tech stuff.
That's awesome. I like the analogy Home Depot. You immediately think, okay, I go there to buy tools and make life easier. That's really smart. Yeah. And then internet provider, I guess, is the add-on there, because maybe if you don't have the tools your own self, you kind of outsource it and you guys run the blockchain in the background for the teams.
Yeah, I think it just depends who I'm talking to. I think sometimes I'm talking to people who aren't developers, and I tell them like, oh, we're an internet, we're like a Home Depot, but for building blockchain-based applications, that goes like right over their head. Because as soon as they say blockchain, they're already sort of kind of lost, and then they don't really know what you're building. So if I say it's like an internet provider, they're like, oh, I sort of get that. And that helps kind of do the translation. Most people are kind of like these magical mystery things that everyone uses but don't really understand. So I like the analogy.
I mean, it's true for me as well. And I just did a podcast with Triton One. And so like, I had looked up a lot of the terms prior, and as a user, it's just not as important to you. You're like, are my transactions landing on this application? I'm happy. Everything's good. If that's not the case, then I'm like, who am I blaming here? Am I blaming the team that's building the product? Am I blaming the blockchain? You know, am I blaming the Home Depot or Home Depot's competitor? I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
So it's good.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, true, true. All right. Tell me a little bit more about these services and, you know, how they benefit the Solana ecosystem. And you can walk in, and what I was thinking from in lines of this is, you know, if you're the internet provider to a product, what does that mean? And then, and kind of scale it. Because maybe like at the base layer, you only offer like, hey, you can use us for an RPC. And maybe they only need a couple of tools from the store. But maybe they need the entire store. And how does that help them? And give the listener a more understanding a little deeper.
For sure. I mean, especially if the audience are, you know, developers, they're probably familiar also with like cloud stuff like AWS or Google Cloud. And we're kind of similar to that too. And I think that if I were to make an analogy away from the Home Depot towards the cloud stuff, the direct comparison would be like the RPCs are sort of like your EC2 or your like virtual compute. It's like your base building block. It's the most sort of like fundamental piece, because what it is it's the native Solana API that we let people work with. And so if you think about Solana is, right, it's a bunch of machines that agree upon something. So if you want to read or write data, you have to talk to them. You talk to it through that API. So we expose that, but around the world. So basically what you do is you could pay us a relatively small amount, like $50 a month, but then you get access to like a global fleet of machines, like very powerful machines running everywhere in the world. When you send a request, no matter whether it's from Malaysia or South Africa or wherever, we'll route it to a node that is relatively close to you to keep your latency low, or your customer, and then give you that data. And then we do a bunch of also stuff on top of that behind the scenes to make those things faster and more reliable. And that's also kind of part of the product you get. And then I guess we wanted to talk about like building on top of that. So that's like sort of the base layer. But you think about it, it sort of is like your sort of base layer. Like, you don't always necessarily want to work with the most like raw tools, right? Like sometimes you just want something that's a little bit more refined. So let's say you're trying to work with like NFT data or token data. You want to figure out how much, like what's the total amount of like USDC this wallet has, or who are the top, you know, 10 holders of this like new token, for example. Well, you could use RPCs to do that, but you need to understand how all those tokens are represented. And there's a series of different calls you have to make and just stitch it together. And it takes time to stitch all that stuff together. So we also have, for example, like APIs that behind the scenes are, we call indexers, but what we do basically is we transform all that data as it's happening on chain, store it into a database in a different format. That way, when you query it, we can give you things like, you know, this is this person's 25 tokens they're holding. We can give you that information almost instantaneously, which would take longer if you did it yourself. So that's an example of like one other sort of like, you know, tool, one level up. Another thing that we're going to talk about today is things like streaming. Mm-hmm. So there is a native interface for streaming WebSockets in Solana, but WebSockets aren't really the most performant or reliable solution for streaming. They're convenient, but they're not really the best if you're trying to do like a production grid application. So
if you want to do like high frequency and you want it to be snappy and your users can use it kind of on the go, not just like a historical research reference.
Yeah. So it's like the streams are all for current state. And then, so like WebSockets, that sort of protocol is meant for typically for working with like browsers. So it's like great if, for example, you're trying to do like, if you're working around, like, say you're a user on like, I don't know, Zeta or Drift or something like that, then like there's probably some WebSocket connections open so that latest price updates appear to you. So that's like for users. But if you're trying to do something behind the scenes, you usually want something a bit more robust. And you also want like a degree of like reliability. And so at the WebSocket interface, what happens is you're basically behind the scenes connecting to one single server. So there's an issue with that server, then you're also going to have a problem yourself.
Mm.
So when we kind of talk about things like LaserStream or just generally as the concept of having like more robust streaming products, part of it is obviously the latency and the quality and the interface and that sort of stuff. But also it's the redundancy. It's like you just want to get your data as fast as possible and you want it to always be there. You don't want to have to go and do something like, okay, well, when this has an issue, disconnects for 5 seconds, now I need to go figure out how do I find that 5 seconds of data. So you're calling other APIs to go find that data. Which is a pain. And it's much easier just to say, like, to trust the source that you're getting. And that's like one of the biggest value adds that something like LaserStream adds.
With LaserStream, well, I guess prior to LaserStream, was it on the onus of the protocol teams, if in the case, say they lost the feed, to have to get it back? Was it automated on their back end? Or does this add automation for them?
So basically, like, what people would do, and we did this ourselves, like, as a, you know, small little, like, detour, like a lot of these products we're building are just things that we built for ourselves because like we kind of dog food our own products, right? We're trying to build X and we realize like, oh, this is annoying. And then we find a solution for that. And they're like, oh, well, other people also have this problem. So we just convert that into something more general and then sell that too. And so the problem basically is that when you disconnect, you have to reconnect. And that's pretty straightforward. Like you get an error. It's like, you know, connection closed, blah, blah, blah. You have a little loop that goes and opens the connection again. That's great. But then you think, okay, well, you know, 500 milliseconds have passed. Solana blocks are pretty fast, right? They're like every 400 milliseconds. You could have just missed a block. And now you're like, okay, well, now I need to go find what that missing block is and fill in that data. So you have to write some code to basically detect what was missed during that time and then fill it in. And that becomes a little bit more annoying too if you're trying to look at the state of accounts. Mm-hmm. In Solana, you basically have like the transaction history, which is like the ledger. It's like A sent this to be, and you know, but you also have the state, which is like the current state of things. So maybe it's like your the amount of USDC you're currently hold. So as time passes, what happens is that the state's changing, and you could stream the current state with things like WebSockets, right? But there's no API to find what state was in the past.
Hmm.
So that makes it even worse. So let's say you do disconnect and about a couple seconds pass and you want to know what those in between states were. You don't have any way of knowing that besides looking at the transactions and figuring out what happened yourself. And I know I'm getting a little more deep into the weeds here. And I think the point isn't really about necessarily that you need to understand what is going on at the weeds. The point is that the weeds exist and they're not fun. And so you don't have to worry about these weeds at all by using a product with LaserStream. You just will get the current account state, which is what you want and all you care about. And you don't feel all the rest.
An innovation on the tools being supplied at the Helios Home Improvement Store.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I saw that LaserStream taps directly into Solana leaders. And then explain to me what that means for performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think like to tap into Solana leaders may be a little... That terminology maybe is a little, maybe I would say misleading, but I guess I want to be both technically correct without maybe overcomplicating things. I think that really like, let's maybe it helps the most if we just talk first about like what really is LaserStream and why does it do what it does. And first off, so there's this protocol called gRPC, and it's basically a streaming protocol. And there is a Solana plugin called Lillastone. You mentioned Trident One. They're the guys that developed that. And it's this plugin you could put on a Solana validator, and then you can open up a gRPC stream. And that's great, but it suffers from the one issue that you're still connected only to one node. And if you disconnect, you have to reconnect, and you open up that whole can of worms.
Okay.
Now, Yellowstone does have the ability to do, like more recently, has the ability to do replay. So if you disconnect, you could say, give me the data from this last point. Which is useful. It's definitely good that you can do that. And it's in there now. And I know Trident also has a Fumarole, which is kind of similarly uses that replay feature, but there's a few other features as well. You can kind of like split to consumer groups. But what makes LaserStream different though, is that LaserStream, what you're getting is behind the scenes, you're backed by multiple servers. So you have one connection that's being powered by multiple servers, meaning if anyone has an issue, you're not disconnecting. You're still having a reliable stream from the other servers. And what we're doing is we're basically taking the fastest data out of all of them. So you're getting the lowest latency because we're basically having a bunch of servers that are racing to give you the data the fastest. And if anyone has an issue, you're not getting that data anymore. You're getting the data from another.
And that's what you mean by tapping into the Solana leaders.
I guess so. Although I wouldn't say it's not, that's still, again, not exactly the right terminology because maybe the way to think about it is that when you're streaming data, what you typically have is you're running a, like the Solana client, so some people call that a validator, an RPC node. Like an RPC node is just a validator that is not voting.
Right.
Right. Okay. It's not like, you know, it doesn't have stake and it's not voting, but it's observing everything. And so typically what happens, you stream the data from that to the client or the customer. And then the question is like, how did those validators get the data? Will they get it from the leaders? And there is this thing called Turbine. We're getting a bit into the weeds. So basically, there is a way that data goes from the leaders to those RPC nodes or those like the streaming nodes we're talking about. And it's not like a direct path. It goes through like this kind of trickles down through other validators eventually to your RPC nodes. Because you're relatively low priority, if you think about it. If I kind of go with a more meta point, it's sort of that like the network has to function, right? So they'll have to talk. So all the people with a lot of stake with building the blocks talk first, and then your like RPCs and stuff get the data later. Now, what we do as well for LaserStream is that we take the data that we see on our validator, we send that over to those nodes as well. So basically, you get a bit of a fast track. So you don't have to wait for that whole propagation thing. We just have this like fast lane that goes straight to the piece of stream notes.
That's helpful actually for you to like walk it down that route. So I appreciate that. You mentioned Trident One, Fumarole, building similar things, but for maybe, you know, different cohorts. Can you explain like, you know, what Helios is trying, or say who Helios is trying to build for, you know, in relation to maybe other streaming services?
I mean, honestly, LaserStream is everyone, because it solves a few core problems that are shared problems. I think really when it comes to streaming, for the most part, you have really like two categories of things you care about. One is the reliability, so just knowing that you won't disconnect too often. And the other one is the speed and like having low latency. So most users, I mean, everyone wants a degree of speed, but I'd say like there's a marginal improvement that caters maybe more to traders than an app developer. But everyone wants reliability. That's like no brainer. And so it does serve both of those. I think like when you're looking at something like Fumarole, I think it's in a closed beta. So I haven't tried it myself, but looking at the docs, I think I can't speak for their internal architecture and what it offers and latency comparisons because I haven't been able to test it. But what they do offer is they have this like concept of consumer groups. So basically you can have basically two different servers on your end listening to the same stream, which may be advantageous for some people. I think it's a nice pattern. Personally, I've found that I never need more than one server to handle a stream of Solana data. So it just hasn't been like a high priority for us to put into the product. But maybe there are some people who have like, I don't know, smaller hardware or something, and maybe that is beneficial for them.
I do like this notion of teams, like you said, you know, dogfooding their own products based on what they find to be a reality. And so maybe Triton One is finding reasons that it makes sense based on who their customers are or the services that they provide. And it's different for you guys. And then there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like maybe it's just something they needed themselves for the stuff they were building. They found it annoying to have to just handle the whole stream themselves. That'd make a lot of sense. Yeah, it's got a good point.
The historical replay feature, I saw that the technical constraints is it goes back 20 minutes. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's 15 or 20. Yep.
15 or 20. And now is that, explain to me why that's the case. And then tell me if you guys are trying to work on going further back, if it's technically possible to go further back and still be performant. Give me something around that.
Yeah, so you can definitely go further back. I think that there's actually 20 minutes is actually a relatively large amount of data, because what we're doing is we are storing every single account change that has happened. And not just the account changes that happened at a confirmed level, so the ones that you maybe would see permanently, but even the ones that happened during while blocks were getting constructed. So all those like inter-block sort of updates while the block is getting built, we're also offering that. And so it ends up being quite a lot of data. So you can imagine if like one account that has like, say, 100 kilobytes gets updated, you know, five times per block. Well, now you're getting like, that's 0.5 megabytes. And you have that two times per second because of the frequency of blocks. So now you have about a megabyte per second that you're being produced. And so that's just one account, and there are hundreds of thousands of accounts in Solana. So you can imagine how like it quickly becomes like a good amount of data. And so, yeah, so what we'd have to do to offer more is we'd have to basically like have a more sophisticated system to like store it some numeric, because it wouldn't all fit necessarily on like one machine. Or I'd have to put some of it on disk. So it's basically, it's a very solvable problem, but what we optimized more for was guarantees. Right. So by capping it around 20 minutes, it let us just go with a slightly simpler solution that made it easier for us to guarantee that you will always get that replay no matter what. And that's a part of the design too, is because we're supported by multiple servers, we had to also figure out a way of like, how can we basically always guarantee that even if one of these servers has an issue, that the, not only is the stream present, but also that replay pool always has 20 minutes of data no matter what.
I think, and that's a good answer, and I like it. And it kind of came from me just sort of looking on the timeline and seeing what some of the questions were with regards to LaserStream. And it's also that you're not building LaserStream to be like, hey, look, now you can go back and look at the since Genesis history and stream that forward. Yeah. It's more like we're building this so that applications that are running second to second, if they have a trip and a stumble, you know, they have 20 minutes or 15 minutes to be able to go back and catch up and get all of that information. Is that correct?
100%. Hang on.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. What do you think, and this could be a tough question, is the most interesting thing that maybe LaserStream unlocks in regards to, you know, maybe what's not being built now that could be built, or like maybe where the next iteration is going?
Well, I think like first and foremost, the problem that like what LaserStream is trying to provide is just a, you know, simple, robust solution to an unsexy problem that slows people down. So its main purpose isn't necessarily to like, say, transform a new use case, but rather let you focus more on your ideas and get there faster. So that's like its main purpose. If I were to like answer a question of like, okay, what's something new that it can maybe offer, a way you could use it for something different? Well, this isn't really its main use case, but I'm just kind of spitballing here. Because it does have the account replay, maybe if you're doing some trading stuff and you want to do some simulations where maybe at some point you want to just like stop your stream do something and then like run that, like say pause and like let a minute pass and then play that 1 minute data like super fast and like test your say trading strategy or something. That could be like a cool maybe use case you could use it for, right? Like replaying these like micro account replays to like basically test your trading strategies or maybe some other type of anything that really requires some form of like account update back testing, but for like brief time intervals.
I like that. Nope. It's a creative out of the box idea. And I guess, you know, and I kind of asked Steve a similar question about FuboRoll and the answer was very similar. It's not necessarily that this unlocks something new per se. It just allows people to not have to deal with headaches and can focus on building anything. So the answer could be it unlocks everything because you no longer have to waste engineering resources and time on things that were a problem.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's a big part of our business really is kind of focused on letting other people build what they want to build. Then they can figure out some of the new use cases for crypto and Solana or whatever else it may be.
I like that. That's the in the gold rush, which crypto is the gold rush, you know, sell shovels, sell pickaxes.
Selling shovels, yeah. Everyone's selling shovels. Seen that meme where it's like everyone's selling shovels. But
that's gold.
All right. Well, I won't keep you too much longer. Is there anything you want to say that Helios is focusing on next? Something you're excited about or something you want to tell listeners to go check out? Now is the time.
Yeah, I mean, working on next, we're doing some interesting stuff with like historical queries. So that's just similar to LaserStream in the sense that it'll make your lives easier, just ways to make it easier for you to query old data and figure out what happened. I'll leave it there because I don't want to like, you know, announce too much until it's fully ready. Although Merck tends to like throw stuff on the timeline sometimes because that's just the way CEOs work. You got to announce stuff. That way the engineers feel pressure to finish it. And then let's see, another thing, I guess the other thing too, is we've made a lot of improvements on our transaction submission side. So like if you're, say, especially if you're doing like training stuff and you want like the best landing rates, in the past couple of months, we've put a big investment there and we've really improved things on that sort of like trader grade, you know, millisecond differences type of stuff. Awesome. So if you happen to be in the audience and that's what you like to do, then definitely check it out in our docs. We have some new sending stuff that you can use and beat everyone else with. So try it.
Doing your part to help bringing institutions on chain. Good job.
That's a part of it. Yeah.
And it's 100%.
Yeah. There's a lot behind it. Like even the stuff about the old history stuff, like that's also super important because like, let's say you want to do things like money laundering checks and compliance things. Well, you got to go figure out where this money come from. How easy is it for you to find that, trace that history? Not that easy. So, you know,
nope, I like it. I applaud it. You guys, you know where to find Helios on Twitter. Nick, you want to share your Twitter account?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that we'll probably link it in the post, but it's basically Nick_Penny, PENNIE.
Love it. All right, sir. Thank you for coming on the latest development. We appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Cheers.